Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Bart.
All right, going to wrap up a super week. How about that? Hour three of Heatwave Sports. Yeah, I don't know where I came up with that one, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead and move through this. Tom, we'll wrap up some NFL football notes here. I know you want to touch on the announced class of 2019 NFL Hall of Fame group that was announced yesterday. Looks like
I didn't know if you had any qualms with anybody. I think the big thing for me, look, I live in New York. I know how good Kevin Mawai was, and I think he's absolutely fantastic. But there's a large group of people that are now screaming to the hills that Alan Faneca didn't make the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you put their numbers head-to-head, their careers head-to-head, there's a debate to be made there. And anytime we talk about Hall of Fame, we're going to, argue and talk about who and who should be, who should not be. I'm pretty happy with this class. Again, it's the NFL. They kind of let in anybody. But I was a little surprised that Alan Faneca did get kind of snubbed here.
You think too? Even Hutch was on there as well, right? Hutchinson,
yeah,
the guy that deserves definitely deserves some recognition there. But the class was Champ Bailey. So we saw some secondary guys here, right? A lot of secondary guys: Champ Bailey, Ty Law, Ed Reed, all out of secondary. Tony Gonzalez, big tight end, and then you had the owners and front office guys. It was Bolin and Gil Brandt also made the Hall of Fame class.
Right. Guys that we started to watch. That's what Hall of Fame now, which is kind of cool. Not guys that we've heard of, not guys that we kind of remember when we were younger, Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, I remember. No, these are guys that we watched their entire career. And we watched it as, objective reporters, really. If you think about it, Tim, guys like the Champ Baileys and Kevin Mawais and whatnot, these are players that we were on the air for their careers. We were analyzing their games for their careers. So it enters a cool new, at least personal level.
Tony Boselli also on the list of left out. That's a lot of good offensive linemen there.
Yeah, Boselli needs to get in. Boselli definitely needs to get in.
And what's the, offhand, what's the process here? It's different than baseball, yes?
Yeah, it's different than baseball. It's more, I would say, more if you were a good guy. they don't have stats to go on, especially offensive linemen. They don't have stats. So it's more of, listen, we like you. You were a good guy. We're going to let you know.
You played 10 to 15 years, right? You never caused problems, and you were a lot of them played with the same team. That was the same team.
Absolutely, yeah. The consistency is the thing. And you'll see that for football way more than baseball, that's for sure.
So for the Las Vegas Raider fans, Tommy, it looks like they'll add San Francisco Raiders to their name next year, as it looks to be that it needs to be signed off, but they could be playing their games next year at Oracle Park in San Francisco as they begin their way to Vegas with a stop over the bay.
Yeah, I think that this is the obvious choice, not something that in any way, shape, or form I'm shocked about, but it's something that I'm going, really? You couldn't figure out something different. Why three homes in 3 years? Especially three states. I mean, it's not a different state, but it's a completely different part of the state. I just don't like this at all. I don't like sharing a building. I don't like anything about it. There's no way that they were going to come into UNLV. I get that. But, I don't know. I'm not happy with it. Maybe because I'm not a Raider fan, but we couldn't figure something else out. This is the best that you're going to give us.
And it's not that they're playing in the stadium the 49ers play. They're playing in the baseball stadium, Tom, where the Giants play. And I believe, and I'm sure.
Yeah, when I said share stadium, I didn't mean the Niners. Yeah, you're sharing. It's just a weird situation.
And I think territorially, that's San Francisco's area. They're going to have to agree to this. I don't think that'll be an issue, but I mean, technically, it's they would have to okay it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So the Las Vegas Raiders are on their way, Tom, and they're going to stop in San Francisco for next year. I get it. It's lame duck. You don't have a lease. Got to get the schedule out, right, Tom? So it's, hey, let's just go ahead and do this. I don't know. Maybe the Niners didn't want Raider fans in their ballpark. I'm not sure why this is, but you're right. It seems logically that would probably be what was going to happen to begin with.
It makes sense, but California's a mess. I mean, look, California's a mess most of the time anyway, okay, in a lot of different ways. But this is getting to a new low. Look, the L.A. Rams play in a stadium where most of their fans are from the opposing team. The San Diego Chargers, and yes, there's still the San Diego Chargers, are playing in a soccer stadium that doesn't sell out. And now the Oakland Las Vegas Raiders are going to be playing in San Francisco at a baseball stadium.
Right. But they want two teams in L.A., yes.
Yeah.
Over on the college side, Tom, a program you're familiar with, and hard times right now for Willie Taggart at Florida State as he dismissed quarterback DeAndre Francois from the team over some alleged abuse allegations from Francois' girlfriend. Just a tough situation for Taggart to walk into, and it looks like it's getting tougher now. If this is all true, I mean, there was a domestic dispute back in the beginning of 2018, and now it just keeps going on. So he's doing the right thing here by just cutting away any negativity there that's left in the program.
Good for Willie Taggart, and I hope more coaches do this. You touch a woman, you hit her, you don't play. Right? I mean, it's just that simple. You don't play football. You don't get the privilege of playing football if you feel like you need to put your hands on a woman. I applaud Willie Taggart. Listen, I don't think he's a very good coach from what I've watched here early on at Florida State, but from a PR standpoint, man, he's got my vote, right? I love this kind of mentality. Listen, you know, that's it. We're not messing around here anymore. This is a new culture. This is a new situation. You want to do that garbage, you could do it under the old regime. Jimbo Fisher just kind of looked the other way for a lot of that stuff. You could do it under Jimbo Fisher. You're not doing it under me. And I like that kind of walk in with a heavy hand, and this is the way that things work.
Yeah, Jimbo had the Bobby Bowden theory on what to do with players, right? Cover it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And really, I look at Francois. I know he had a good season as a freshman a few years back, but James Blackman would be the starter now. And I don't think he played so badly 2 years ago that you know, Willie Taggart obviously felt comfortable enough to know that he had somebody that I'm not saying it factored into decision, Tom. It may have, but I think James Blackman's okay as a quarterback at Florida State, you know, when I look at the two of them.
Yeah, that's also part of it, right? It, you also have the part of it, Tim, that he was able to do this without much, you know, backlash. He was able to. But I listen, my wife is a Florida State alumni. The Florida State alumni are angry that their team is being called, you know, the thugs, right? They're the thugs. They're the team that you know, you got Jameis Winston on. They're the team that's a loudmouth. They're the team that, you know, are hitting women. They don't want that. They want to shed that culture. So I mean, you got to remember from Willie Taggart's side, I don't think he did it for this, but from Willie Taggart's side, now he's got a free pass, doesn't he? Listen, if I don't win this year, it's because I had to suspend my quarterback. I had to get rid of my starting quarterback. Why? Well, you know what? I think, you know, culture means more than winning. He's got a lot of outs now.
Let's jump around, Tom. Let's go to the NBA. So it's after Christmas. It's February. We have to start paying attention to it a little bit. And the trade deadline coming up. We'll start with the first guy, the Brow, fined by the NBA for coming out and saying he wanted to go. His dad says he'd never let him play for the Celtics. Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Is this happening?
I think it has to. I have heard that the Lakers put out five different trade proposals, and they were laughed at. quote unquote laughed at from the source that I heard. They're not putting out good offers, or the Pelicans are looking at Anthony Davis and go, yeah, you could want to leave, but we don't have to trade you. Remember, he's not a restricted free agent this summer. He's a restricted free agent next year. So they still have him under contract for like the next 14 or 15 months or something like that. They are in a win-win-win position. I know for a fact that the Knicks offered Porzingis and more, and they said, you're not even close. You're not even close with what they're asking. We keep hearing the idea that, you know, Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball to the Lakers, you know, what I'm hearing, it is, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. They want somebody to pay like Anthony Davis is a top five player in the league. And think about the top five players in the league. Think about if you had an opportunity to sign Kevin Durant right now with a year left on his contract, what would you give up for him? If you had an opportunity to sign, you know, LeBron James, that's what they're asking for. I'm not saying that that's who they are. That's what they're asking for. And they could sign, they could trade him now before the deadline. They could trade him over the summer. They could trade him before next year's deadline. They have a long time to take advantage of Anthony Davis.
That was my point, is that he's not a free agent. He has a year to go, and it's typical, in my mind, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, it's typical egotistical Magic Johnson and the Laker mystique running the show here, that they think that they can just go out and rob teams because it's them. That if you're not getting the deal, that if you're New Orleans and you're not getting the deal you want, somebody will pay for him next year. That's the way I look at it. Why did they don't have to make this deal this year at all? They could use him. He could, whatever the case may be. Somebody come next year is going to pony up with what you want, Tom. And I think if you're looking at who's going to give you the best deal, I think Danny Ainge can offer the most. Now we know that there's a situation there with the family and all that. But if you're looking for value, in my mind, New Orleans gets the best deal from Boston.
Yeah, and who cares what Anthony Davis wants? Now, if I'm the Pelicans, okay, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, this idiot that signed a contract with us, I had to open up his big mouth and start demanding a trade during the season. He's going to be a distraction. Why am I appeasing him? Wouldn't you trade him to Boston, even if he wants doesn't want to be go there? Oh, you don't want to go to Boston? Tough. Now you're traded. Yeah. He's got no say. Anthony Davis has no say in this.
If you're Danny Ainge, though, do you want him there?
No. That's the whole next question. But from a Pelican standpoint, yeah, listen, I'm taking the best offer. I don't care if it's from Europe, right? I mean, you are under contract. I will trade you where I feel like I need to.
And I think just from what I'm hearing, I don't think it's going to be that easy for L.A. It may happen, but they're going to give up Ingram, Ball, Kuzma. They're going to give up a first, right? That off, the right there.
I was just going to say the exact trade that you just offered, and the Bets player who I forget his name, but Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, and the first was laughed at. I haven't heard of the counter, but think about that. That was quote-unquote laughed at.
Then I don't know what you come back with if that's already been laughed at. You know, there's not much you can add more to that piece there.
No, there's not. And that's the thing. Who can the Lakers offer? You know, what can the Lakers offer? Are we talking about, you know, Ball, Ingram, Kuzma, and three first-rounders? I mean, this is... Listen, if Ball, Ingram, Kuzma, and a first was laughed at, what are you asking for? Three first-rounders?
Yeah.
And remember, NBA draft picks, are not anywhere near what they normally are. Yeah, it is not anywhere near what the NFL is, for example. First-round draft pick, if you don't get a top-10 pick, they're I'm not going to say worthless, but they're not looked upon too highly.
Right, and they would the Lakers' picks would probably be towards the lower end of the first round. So
yes,
right. And what's the problem with everybody overreacting with Boston right now? I mean, Tom, they're only five games out of the first seed, right? And, you know, there's still a second half to go. They've won 9 out of 10. people want to think that Kyrie wants to leave now and Hayward's not. I mean, you know, where does this negativity come from? This team is, in my mind, are they slightly a bit behind where I thought they'd be? Okay. But it's not like they still can't finish as a top seed out of the East and be in the finals.
You know where I think it's coming from, Tim? I think it's because this team is built to be a team, and they don't look like a team this year. You know, this team looks like it's Kyrie, and if Kyrie's not in there, they sort of fall apart. And that's how people are looking at this. You know, they are a team. They're supposed to be in unity. They should be holding hands and singing Kumbaya and praising Brad Stevens. This is what everybody wants from the Celtics team. And they're just not doing that this year. I'm not going as far as saying Hayward's not healthy, and I've heard that a lot, you know, that he's just not recovering the right way. I just don't think that Boston hit its stride yet.
That's what I was saying. I agree that they're going to hit that stride right here in the second half of the year and move into the playoffs. And you know what? Come June, Tom, we're going to be talking about Celtics-Warriors in the finals.
You know, I can see I'm really, really, really high on Milwaukee. You know that. I've been high on Milwaukee for a couple of years. I'm really high on Milwaukee. I have, a futures bet on Toronto. But the Celtics are who I picked. And I'm not getting off of my pick. I see exactly what you're talking about. I'm really high on Milwaukee. But, that secondary option just worries me about them. And again, it's coaching. Mm-hmm. I still think Brad Stevens is a better coach.
And what's the scuttlebutt in New York City this week with, you mentioned his name, Porzingis being dealt to Dallas for Denny Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and some future picks? A situation where Porzingis didn't want to be there anymore, Tom, and New York figured they might as well get what they could for him. But I heard there were other offers that weren't even acknowledged.
Yeah, I was on my Sports Garden show when this kind of broke, and I called it one of the worst trades I've seen in NBA history because of this. Look, this is a dreamer trade. It's a dreamer trade for both teams. The Dallas Mavericks are dreaming that Kristaps Porzingis stays healthy and he becomes what we all know that he can be when he's healthy. And you put that with Luka, wow. I mean, they're a championship contender if he's healthy, but they're banking on him being healthy. The Knicks are banking that they can go and lure free agents. And here's the thing. The general consensus is that Kristaps Porzingis is probably 7th or 8th best free agent. He'd go maybe as high as 6th. But, he's in that secondary realm, okay? You have the top guys. You have Kyrie. You have Leonard. You have Durant. These are the top dogs. The Knicks really have to. First of all, they had enough cap room to go get one of those guys. So anybody that goes, now Durant will come here. They had enough cap room to get him to come here anyway, okay? And I do understand that they got future draft picks. That's great. But, again, we just talked about it. What is it going to be? If Dallas is going to be good with Luka and Porzingis, where are these draft picks going to be? So this comes down to this. This is what will make the trade win or lose for New York. The second guy that they get has to be better than Porzingis. So if they wind up with, Chris Middleton and Tobias, this is a dreaded fail, one of the worst deals in Knicks history. Okay? This is a horrible trade. But if they wind up with Kyrie and Durant, okay. Now you convinced me that was the right move. We can't judge. Look, I think it's a terrible move because I have no faith in the New York Knicks to bring those two guys in. I like the idea of Durant, Porzingis, and the number one pick, whether it be Zion Williams or whoever it might be, okay? I like the idea of the three of them. Wow, now we got something going. But all of a sudden, you went from a three-headed monster of Porzingis, Durant, and maybe Zion Williamson to maybe Durant, maybe Zion, and we don't even have Porzingis? I mean, that's a weird jump. I've been very, 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 very torn here from fan reaction. I got ripped apart on Facebook. I had people texting me and calling me how wrong I was. This is a great move. It's a great move. There are our local hosts talking about how great of a move it is. And everything that they say is contingent upon them believing they're going to get two of the top free agents. I mean, we're talking about you've got to get two of this. Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Kawhi Leonard. You've got to get two of those guys. Now, we know Kawhi Leonard's going to L.A., right? I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. And Klay Thompson is not coming to New York. So that means you've got to get Durant and Kyrie. Those are the two. And if you don't get them, you lost this trade. That's where it is. People forget how much, well, it's a new organization, and it's not Isaiah anymore, and it's, you know, Phil Jackson was the guy that ruined it. There's a million excuses. What I've watched over the last 20 years have been the New York Knicks billing situations and screwing things up. So when I see a trade go down for somebody as talented as Porzingis, and yeah, he's got a lot of injuries, but as talented as Porzingis, I think they screwed it up. And then you hit on the biggest point. To anyone out there that thinks that this is a good basketball trade, okay, fine. You take that attitude. You run with it. I won't even argue with it. It's my opinion against your opinion, but I will give you this piece of information. This is a fact. The trade, they had a meeting with Porzingis in the morning where Porzingis basically, this was on, was it Thursday morning, I think. They had a meeting with Porzingis. They met with him a little after 11 a.m., and he basically told them he was worried about their direction, he was worried about their commitment to win. They walked out of the meeting after noon, okay, 12:20, 12:25. They walked out of that meeting after noon. Within an hour and a half, Kristaps Porzingis was traded. He was traded before 3 o'clock, okay? It was official before 3 o'clock. Porzingis was traded. There were six teams that called the New York Knicks to make a deal. Four phone calls were not returned or unanswered. So they only heard of two offers out of six teams and took the first offer, basically, that came along. They didn't shop. They didn't look around. They didn't look for a better offer. They thought that Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, Dennis Smith Jr., and a first-round pick was just too great to pass up.
He never thought it'd be so hard to get guys to play in New York, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. That should be easily one of the first places a free agent wants to go to play, Tom.
And that's what everyone's counting on. Man, we're going to get that big free agent because if he comes to New York and he wins, you know, it'll be like Mark Messier. He'll be on every billboard. He'll be New York legend. And while that's true, I don't know if people want to have that pressure. I don't know if a guy like Kevin Durant cares. I think he just cares about getting paid. I don't think he cares. I don't think a guy like Kyrie Irving cares. I don't think a guy like Kawhi Leonard or Klay Thompson care. I don't think they care about that, being king of New York. I don't see that in many players.
And what about old Mark Cuban here, Tom? You said, you know, you bring in Porzingis. He looks like he's not going to play the rest of the year. So healthy, hopefully. You team him with Luka. You got guys like Finney Smith, who's young. Another guy in Dwight Powell, who's a young center there. Harrison Barnes, still a solid third option there in the offense. And the way they're going, Tommy, you know, possibility of dropping into the lottery again. So they're just reloading.
Tim, I might not know anything about basketball according to other sports talk hosts in town, right? Just like I didn't know about hockey anything else. But I believe that during the draft, I told you guys that I thought Luka was by far the number one pick. I thought he was the best talent there. And I was shocked that he fell to the Mavericks. Then when we were doing our previews, what did I tell you? I said, listen, I want to talk up the Mavericks. I don't think they're a playoff team this year, but I want to talk about it. I love everything they're doing there. I got ripped apart for that too. The Mavericks. Yeah. So once again, we're going to sit here, and I think this is a great trade for them. maybe Porzingis shouldn't get a max contract, but when you see what he can be, it's unbelievable. And you combine him with Luka. You know, one of the tweets that I saw came out at me because they had remembered about, you know, me being so high on Dallas. They said, Tom, your Euro Mavericks are going to be looking good, and that's what they are. But so be it. If Euro Mavericks work and it's a European game that you're going for, why not add European players that understand that style?
Yeah, it won them a title already, didn't it?
Exactly. Keep the recipe that works, man.
Final timeout. Final segment on the way. Major League Baseball. Unless something broke in the last 20 minutes, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are still unemployed as we speak. We'll get an update from Tom Barton. Where are these guys? When are these guys signing? Seems like a broken record, but we'll touch on it on the other side. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Look up Heatwave Sports on Facebook and on Twitter at HW Sports and at Tom Barton Sports. Now back to Heatwave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
Okay, we're going to wrap up a big Sunday night, especially if you're a Patriots fan as they win their sixth Super Bowl. 13-3 over the Rams. And, Tom, we are just literally mere days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. And the two biggest names that opened the free agency season in Major League Baseball are still unemployed. We're talking about Bryce Harper. We're talking about Manny Machado. Last Sunday night, Tommy, we talked about Machado and the Padres' interest. And then I text you this week late at night when I had found out that Bryce Harper was in town here in Vegas and Padres representatives were meeting him as well. Still nothing out of anywhere. These guys still unemployed.
It's quite a difference than what we thought when I came out there for the winter meetings, right? I don't think anybody would have imagined this. I remember Michael Kay saying to us, so we interviewed him, and we played that interview on the air. He said, I think it's going to go until after January 5th. And I remember being like, really? Wow, that's really late. And here we are. I don't buy the Padres. I know the Padres want to make a move. And I heard it at the winter meetings, and I caught a lot of flack for it because I put it out there on Twitter. I heard at the winter meetings the Padres were going to do something huge. I think that they want to do something huge. I just think that it's a tough situation. I mean, I think the ballpark plays a part of it, and being on a bad team plays a part of it as well. Look, the Padres are not going to sign anybody to a 10-year contract, so they would just be overpaying for the first couple of years. That's how they would structure this deal. And if they structure this deal like that, Tim, you're trying to get that deal so your client, you know, ups his bidding number. His client finally goes out there. You know, Bryce Harper goes out there and has two more MVP seasons back-to-back, and then as an opt-out clause, we could start renegotiating and start from the beginning, right? I mean, that's what the game plan is. But if you're playing for the Padres, it might take things away. And if you're playing for the Padres, it's a different animal. So I think that the Padres have a legitimate interest. I think the Padres they're not going to be able to get it done. I just don't think that they have enough, you know, clout, I guess, to go out there and sign one of these guys, even if they want to.
And I think when it's all said and done, Tom, and you and I both have agreed from this from day one, that because Philadelphia sits there with hashtag FU money, right? They have that money that they can just burn away. They could throw it right there in a pile and burn it in front of you. That's how much extra money they have. They're going to get one of these two guys, and it's going to be Bryce Harper. I think that that's what's going to happen here. You know, they went out, they picked up Kutch. They brought in Segura, David Robertson. They've had a good offseason, and Harper's going to be the cherry on top. And I think he ends up a Philly. If he doesn't, for some reason, he ends up a National. I think we both agreed that was probably the way it was going to go.
you know, I was one of the first people. I was the first person that I know of that mentioned the Nationals. Okay, I'm having less faith in that because of the long time that that's going off. I think it's very. See, here's the problem with the fan bases that you're looking at. Bryce Harper has just made it harder on himself to be accepted into a fan base. Machado hasn't, but Harper has. Machado is in a position where I think we all knew he wanted to become a Yankee. He was holding out for the Yankees. And now the Yankees said no. So now the other teams are kind of getting involved. And other teams are okay with that. Other fan bases are okay. All right, he's going to fall into our lap. You know, this is cool. This is great. Philadelphia will say, all right, listen, we know you want the Yankees, but come on, welcome home. Hey, you're a Philly now. With Bryce Harper, it's a little bit different, though, Tim. With Bryce Harper, at least it feels like the fan bases are like, wait a minute, you didn't want us? Right? If you're in Philly right now and you're going, so we made an offer to him. We have stupid money. We're telling him we will completely overpay, and he's still not signed. Philly fans, I spoke to some of them this weekend. Philly fans are like, well, you know what? If you don't want our FU money, then F you. And the minute he starts struggling, this guy didn't want to play for us anyway. You know, screw him. Washington's the same thing. Look, I said during the winter meetings, I said I think it would be perfect if Bryce Harper came out in January and he spun it where, guys, you know, I wanted to test the market. And we know he tested it and he didn't get what he wanted. But if he spun it, guys, I tested the market. At the end of the day, I just couldn't get the feeling that I really wanted to be a National out of my head. You know, I mean, look, are they going to buy it? They're going to want to buy it, so they will buy it, and that would have been great. But now, Tim, I think we've gone too long. I think we've gone too far into it where they're in a position where if he signs, they're going to be like, you know what? Just because you're back with us now just because you couldn't find anything else, right? That's what happened. You know, you told us you wanted to go date other people. You couldn't find anybody else to date, and now you're back with us. And they'll do the same thing. They'll turn on Bryce if he starts playing ineffectively. Bryce really hurt himself PR-wise with where he can go and be the guy. I think Bryce wants to go somewhere where he is, I mean, the man. And he's hurt himself. Now, if he goes to the Dodgers, I don't think that they look at this as, well, he shopped around. I think the Dodgers, no, look, we weren't the first choice, but man, you know what? We're the Dodgers, and we'll take you. And I think the Yankees are the same way. Yankee fans and Dodger fans will gladly accept him and not hold it against him, but I think he's almost ostracized Philly and Washington right now, where the fan base is not going to be too happy with him.
So is that where Chicago kind of sneaks in?
Maybe, but see, the problem with the White Sox are that they're the White Sox. I mean, Bryce Harper is a guy from everything I've read and everything I see that has a massive ego. Okay, he wants to be highest paid. He wants all these things. But with all of the pay and everything else that comes along with that, Tim, there's also the idea that he wants to be, you know, the man. Going to Chicago, he'll never, ever, ever surpass the Cubs. So you're walking into a city, you're walking into a team that the population likes the other team. The population likes your crosstown rival. There's nothing you could do about it. And he goes to school with Chris Bryant, he went to school with Chris Bryant, right? They're from the same area, went to school together, played together. Chris Bryant could go out there, you know, bat 290, 30 home runs, 90 RBIs. Bryce Harper could go out there and bat 340 with 50 home runs and 120 RBIs, and guess what? Bryce Harper's going to have more fans. Chris Bryant's going to have more fans, no matter what Bryce does. And he's got to know that, you know, and that to me is an ego knock, Tim. He can be anybody. He can be the best player on earth. But if you're playing for the White Sox, you're not playing for the Cubs.
When we talk next Sunday, I'm going to say neither one of them are still going to have signed.
No, I don't think so.
It'll be what?
And last year, J.D. Martinez was the 18th.
Okay. Camp's open the 13th, 14th.
We're getting close to that that mark.
Yeah. So we'll say 2 weeks' time earliest.
I think that I'm going to be sitting there. March Madness this year is the 21st. I'll be sitting there with you, okay? So between now and March 21st, we have like 7 weeks, 6.5 weeks. I think they'll both be signed by March 21st. I'm not positive that they'll be signed before March, and I'm starting to think that they're not. I'm starting to think that we are looking at early March. Not mid-March. I'm going to say early March. I'm starting to get the feeling that February is going to be, like this week is going, we're not going to hear a lot about it. We'll talk on Sunday. Maybe we'll start hearing a little bit of buzz here and there. But generally speaking, no. And did you see what Bryce Harper put on his Twitter page today?
No, what did he put on there?
He is trolling America like we've never seen. He put loading, dot, dot, dot.
He knows the game, Tom. He knows the game.
He knows it. He knows he's having fun. The only problem is that you know, there's one thing to know the game, Tim, and then there's one thing to be prepared for the repercussions of it.
Yeah. So we saw this week Houston sign Wade Miley. 1 year deal, I think it was like $4.5 million. So heading into the off season and officially, I guess I would close the door on Dallas Keuchel coming back. They're going to open the year with Verlander, Cole, Colin McHugh, Miley, and I guess what, Brad Peacock or James, one of those guys could go in that five spot. Was this just a financial situation for Houston, or is there something that they just truly felt that Dallas Keuchel isn't the guy anymore?
I think it's 100% financial. Mm-hmm. I think that they know what's eventually coming. Arbitration for Springer and contracts for guys like Correa and Springer. And I think this is purely financial. They like Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel is asking for, and this is how you have to look at it if you're Houston, Dallas Keuchel is out on the market right now asking for money that you would pay to a number one pitcher. And on the Houston staff, he's a number three.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might like him, and you might have history with him financially. That's reality. Reality is, he is your number three starter, and he's out there demanding number one money. And he's not going to be your number one guy. So if you're going to go get a player, well, go pay a three to be a three. And that's how they're looking at this.
And I know we'll get into our, once camp's open, Tom, we'll get into our Major League Baseball previews for the year. And you know, when you look at Houston, 2 years removed from winning the title, how do you feel about the Astros at 8-1 this year? Brantley in the fold now. Springer, you mentioned. Reddick back. Gurriel, Altuve. You know, this team's very, very good. We saw that last year. They just didn't get there. Are you okay with the rotation? Do you think there's some value there at 8-1 on the Astros? I could see them winning it again.
Not me. I'm down on the Astros this year. Down on them pretty substantially as well. I hate the value. I think people are massively overrating this team on what they are. You lost. See, this is when people, especially, you know, the analytics out there, that just look at numbers and just look at things on paper. This is when people get caught up in that. From a baseball perspective, you lost some pretty important role players, right? Brian McCann's a team leader. He's a role player, right? He's gone. You lost some pretty important guys on this team. And I'm sorry. I know Justin Verlander has found the fountain of youth. I don't think he could do it again. I don't expect Justin Verlander to be, you know, in the top three in the Cy Young Award race this year. I don't expect Gerrit Cole to have the first half where it was the greatest first half in his career history. I don't expect him to have that again this year. I know Bregman's for real, and I expect Correa to come back and look good. And they'll hit, but there are certain team elements that I'm just not completely sold on. Chris Devesky did not look 100% like we've watched him in years before that. You mentioned a guy like Peacock. He bounced around. Colin McHugh, not sure he automatically comes back and is to see him again. A lot of question marks on a team, but from a standpoint of key guys coming back, I just can't bring myself to think that Verlander and Cole have the same years that they just had.
I look at it more like, you know, to win the championship, obviously you got to go to the series to do it. And I think the first step is you got to qualify, right? First look, A's aren't as good as they were last year. First look, you still got the Angels doing whatever they're trying to do. And then you have Texas, which is young. They can win the division, Tom, puts them in the playoffs. At that point, anything happens.
Yeah, but can't you say that about everybody in the American League right now? Look, Cleveland is coming back to the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay? I don't think there's any question about that. Red Sox and the Yankees are going back to the playoffs. I mean, that's the American League. We know four of the teams that are going to the playoffs right now. So, barring a major upset or an injury, it doesn't matter. When you're comparing American League teams, you have to ask yourself, can Houston beat Boston the way that they're comprised? I know Boston's going to be down a little bit this year. Their bullpen's terrible. Can Houston beat the Yankees? The Yankees are going to be better than they were. Can Houston beat Cleveland? My answer is no. I don't think that Houston's better than Cleveland. I don't think Houston's better than the Yankees.
About A.J. Pollock to the Dodgers, Tom.
Smart move, but I just don't understand it. It's a smart move to get Pollock. I just don't understand the Dodgers' offseason.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. I don't understand getting rid of Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig and bringing in A.J. Pollock. Kemp and Puig were perfectly fine. But Puig is a better player than Pollock. Pollock can't stay healthy. Now, I like him. I like his bat. I like him in center field, but I don't like that he can't stay healthy. I don't like that he's really only had one really good career year, and I don't understand how you go in and make a conscious effort to get rid of outfielders and then sign an outfielder.
I think the onus was that you get rid of Puig and Kemp to sign Harper. That was the what it's supposed to be, right?
That's what they wanted people to believe, right? But I don't think you needed to do that if you're going to go sign Pollock, right? If you're signing Pollock, why are you getting rid of these guys? It doesn't look. The big problem was they had Bellinger and Peterson and Puig and Kevin Verdugo. Man, they had all these outfielders. So you go and get rid of outfielders, and I go, okay, I kind of understand it. You're freeing up playing time, and then you go sign another outfielder. $55 million. It's not like they signed this guy to cheap money here, Tim. Signed for $55 million. So now you still have Taylor and Pollock and Bellinger and Verdugo. You still have the glut of outfielders. You still have your same quote-unquote problem that you had. And now, you're right, there's no room to sign Harper at all.
Yeah, they signed him 4 years.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You signed an often injured center fielder who's over 30 years old for 4 years and got rid of Yasiel Puig.
Yeah. JT Realmuto, looks like it's down to the Padres, Reds, Dodgers, Braves.
Yeah, he's going to go somewhere. I've said Braves all along. It's hard to trade him in division. I think that's one of the sticking points. Padres want to be players again. They have the farm system to do it, but something tells me they don't get it done. Cincinnati, I don't understand why they just signed Tucker Barnhart. They just signed him to an extension. I'm not sure why they would. I mean, obviously he's a better player, but I don't understand why that would be an interest. It's all going to depend on the preference of Don Mattingly. I mean, if I'm Mattingly, I'm holding out to San Diego, who has better prospects. But I'm hearing that the Reds are offering some top guys.
How about this rumor? If you feel this is just totally not true, or there's a silver lining here, it looks like somebody claims the Minnesota Twins would be interested in bringing in Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell.
I could see it. I can. I mean, Minnesota is a team that's lying in the weeds. If you remember last year, I thought that they might have a shot at the playoffs. They're a team that's lying in the weeds, and what they are away from being a team that we take serious is an ace and probably a back-end closer. I mean, it fills two immediate needs. This team can hit, and they will hit this year. They can field. They have some depth. I mean, you know, they have a solid number two and a number three. Their bullpen is iffy, but it can be okay. And everything looks so much better when you get an ace and a back-end guy. All of a sudden, Minnesota becomes a player in a very, very, very weak division if they could go out there and sign him. I don't see it because I've never seen that from Minnesota come about, but that would be an intriguing one to keep on.
Right. I think maybe the rumors start because you look at Keuchel still sitting there. Kimbrel, really the talk on Kimbrel has been next to nothing, right? You know, you talk about just the rumors. Kimbrel's disquieted down. And I don't, you know, if you're the Twins, you have Berrios, right? You have Odorizzi still. You're hoping Pineda, you can get something out of him. And you slide Keuchel in there. Now you go to the pen. I like Trevor May. I like Blake Parker. I like Addison Reed. It kind of does seem real sneaky, but it's almost like they waited everybody out, and they're just like, if nobody's going to do this, we might as well.
A lot of teams are doing that now, right? They're going to wait it. Well, if the price comes down to where I want it, let's take a shot.
And the more, you know, I was doing research earlier this week, the more I look at Minnesota, Tom, look, they could be terrible. I get it. But if everything goes well together, CJ Krohn, right, Jonathan Scope, maybe Sano rebounds. You have Buxton. You're looking for him to finally take off. Nelson Cruz and all that. They might be able to produce some runs.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't worry about this team hitting. I worry about and they can field. You know, Polanco's a guy. You know, they can field the ball. I'm not worried about their hitting. The middle of the bullpen I could live with, but without a closer and without an ace. I can't take a team seriously without a closer or an ace.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, all of a sudden, you throw a closer and an ace into this team. I am absolutely looking at them as a playoff contender because of how weak their own division is.
And your take, what is the problem with Craig Kimbrel?
A lot of money for a closer where in a generation now where, you know, middle relievers are being turned into closers every day. He's asking a lot of money. I have heard he doesn't have the greatest attitude, and he just melted down in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. ERA went up this year. Whips went up this year, right, Tom? And you're right, in the postseason he was horrible, but at some point he's going to have to, I see a one-year deal settling, right, somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, listen, teams that are looking at Craig Kimbrel are also looking at Cody Allen, right? And you're going, well, you know, Cody Allen might not be Craig Kimbrel, but Cody Allen could get me 35, 40 saves. And if I'm a team that I'm not worried about a shutdown, you know, closer, I don't need a shutdown closer. I just need a good closer. Well, okay, I'll take this as a good closer instead of a shutdown closer.
Well, Cody Allen,
and that's okay.
Cody Allen got paid though, Tom. He's an angel, and I believe he got.
Yeah, but how much did he get? But how much did he get paid?
I want to say it's around the neighborhood of eight, wasn't it?
Okay, quite different than what Kimbrel's asking.
Yeah,
remember, Kimbrel's holding out for a 5-year deal.
You're right. 1 year, $8.5 million was Cody Allen.
Yeah, 1 year, $8.5 million. Craig Kimbrel could go out there and get 1 year for $12 million right now, but he wants a 5-year deal.
Right. Again, waiting the market out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us about Sports Garden Network, Monday through Fridays. Last week, Tom, no smoke. Ryan Leaf interview was awesome, man. I really liked that one. And, you know, watching him play in college, I wanted a lot more for him in his NFL career. And we saw not just the career, Tom, but his life kind of just spiral way down. And to see him jump back up, I thought that was a great piece you did last week.
Yeah, we try to get the interviews that not everybody's going to get. I mean, it's I don't want to call it easy, but easy to go get, you know, quasi-celebrities. It's easy to go get sports stars, but the guys that are going to add something to it. That's what Sports Garden is all about. That when you are listening to our show, you're going to walk away and you're going to learn something. You're going to have something to go on, to go make a buck on, to go watch a game a little bit differently. You're going to have some kind of insight, some kind of analysis, and that's what we do at the Sports Garden Network. So it's a lot of fun. It's a different kind of radio show, something that most people have never heard before.
And that's over at SportsGardenNetwork.com.
Sports Garden with a T, Sports, G-A-R-T-E-N.
Tom, great show. We are off next Saturday because of the Vegas Golden Knights, but we'll be back here next Sunday night for the big one.
I'll talk to you next Sunday, guys.
Tom Barton, TomBartonSports.com. Go check out his service. Under $100, you get 5 weeks of service if you mention Heatwave Sports. And then check out his show Monday through Friday over on the Sports Garden Network. For RA Platinum, for Tommy Barton, I'm Tim Unglesby. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you next Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Heatwave Sports only on Fox Sports Radio. Good night.